This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We passed a Senate budget resolution, but as you know, any resolution that comes out of the Senate has to be married up with the House, so eventually we'll have to get on the same page. Speaker Johnson has a very thin margin, as you know, and I think he's got the heavier lift, but it's going to be a challenge, but we don't have any choice but to deal with these issues, and we particularly are not going to allow a multi-trillion dollar tax increase on 62% of American taxpayers, which would happen if we did not extend the expiring tax provisions.
Well, there's Senator Cornyn talking about the budget resolution. We've got, we heard, you know, a lot of progress that was made during the last week in the Senate and their ability to try to get a Votorama done. I'm going to ask our next guest about that here in just a second. But there is great movement going on, and it seems as though, even though if it might be at a snail's pace, progress is being made on Capitol Hill for you, the American taxpayer. Let's get to our next guest. Ryan Schmelz joins us once again. He is Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. You can find him on X as well. I encourage you to follow him at Ryan Schmelz Fox. Ryan, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us again today.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Give us a lowdown of the Senate last week was able to do a Votorama, and I kept seeing that word, and I just think it's funny that there's like this, you're in Congress, it's congressional, it's magnificent, and they're doing Votoramas. It's a funny name. Tell us what took place in the Senate last week. What did the Senate get down to do?
Right. So essentially, the Senate took their version of the budget resolution, which is President Trump's agenda items. They have national security in there. They have border security in there, upwards of $300 billion plus for those issues. There's also going to be energy policy that they can insert at a later date. So what they did is that they had an amendment process where members could come out, they could pitch their amendments, they could have debate on that, and then they would vote on it. So after 26 amendments or so were voted on, it took all night long, but around 4 a.m, they finally had a final vote on the budget resolution. It passed with one Republican voting no. That was Rand Paul, because he essentially thinks that this is just a green light for more deficit spending and doesn't do enough to address the deficits that we're facing as a country.
Ryan, I heard or read a lot about, you know, the Democrats were going to try to throw everything at the Republicans during this Votorama, make them take, you know, air quotes, hard votes and take stands against things that I guess the Democrats thought would be bad for them. What kind of statements were the Democrats trying to make with this experience?
Well, I think they're really trying to hone in on the idea of Medicaid potentially facing some cuts because of this budget resolution that Republicans are pushing forward. Now, the argument might be a little bit stronger in the House version, because in the House version, you add the tax law into this. And with the tax law, you have $4.5 trillion in tax cuts. You've got $2 trillion in spending cuts, including a provision in there that directs the Energy and Commerce Committee to cut upwards of $800 billion. Well, that's the committee where Medicaid gets funded underneath of. So I think Democrats are trying to make the point that if the GOP gets its way, then you're going to have to see $2 trillion in spending cuts. And there's no way that they reach $2 trillion without getting into entitlement programs, which President Trump has consistently said is off the table. But I think there is this thought that it's going to be very hard to find $2 trillion worth of savings without either getting into the Pentagon or getting into entitlement programs.
Well, we're speaking with Ryan Schmelz right now with Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill White House correspondent. Do we know what the progress is right now in the House? The Senate tried to take care of their end of things. What's the progress with the big, beautiful bill that we hope to see come out of the House?
They're expecting a rule vote on this tonight, which is a procedural hurdle that it has to pass. And then they will have a final vote, as of right now, tomorrow. Now, I think there are some rumblings that there's a possibility this bill could get pulled because they may not have the votes to be able to pass this. You already have one member, Victoria Spartz from Illinois, coming out and saying that she's officially a no. You've had some other warnings that are thrown out there by some Republicans, but no major hard no's just yet. But here's where the issue is going to come. You may have some conservative members who think it doesn't go far enough, pretty much siding with Rand Paul on that issue. You may have some moderate members who are concerned that this could cut benefits. And you also have some who are maybe pushing back because of the rhetoric that's going towards Ukraine right now coming from the White House. And also there could be some other ones out there, especially from the blue states like New York, as well as California and New Jersey, who may have an issue with how much of the state and local tax deduction is going to be included in this. And if it's not, they could be on the verge of being a no, too.
Is it really Speaker Johnson that's trying to hold this very fragile thing together? Does he have the weight of the presidency behind him to pressure these people into making a yes vote to support it?
Well, President Trump has made it very clear this is the version that he likes. So he would prefer them to go ahead and pass the House version instead of going forward with the Senate version, which doesn't include the tax law. So they'd pretty much have to pass a different reconciliation bill at a later date. So President Trump has made it very clear he wants them to pass this, but it doesn't seem like that's been enough to get everybody on board just now. So, yes, a lot of the wrangling and the whipping comes from Speaker Johnson. But to the extent that he's getting assist from the White House in terms of making personal phone calls or anything like that, we're not quite sure if that's going on or not.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill. He's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill White House correspondent. Do you feel as though while, you know, people are advocating for their own constituencies, their districts, certainly in the House, a much, much smaller, much more personal connection there, just due to the size of the representation, do you feel like the purpose and the intent behind the Republicans is to get to that solution, even if it's going to be hard? Or are we bursting at the seams yet with our differences?
It's hard to tell. You know, I think they all have the same goal in mind for the most part. But I think where they want to take that goal is kind of where I think some of the disagreement comes in. Because, you know, I think there are some who just want to get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act extended at all costs. But then there's others who say, no, we're not cutting taxes this time. We want to make sure we pay for those taxes. And that's why there was actually a provision that was put in there before that pretty much says that initially they had a $1.5 trillion floor for spending cuts. Well, that got changed to be $2 trillion. And essentially what they're saying is that if we cannot find the savings in order to reach $2 trillion in cuts, then we have to take money away from the tax cuts and use that to offset the difference. That's been a little bit of a disagreement amongst Republicans. It did get into the final form, but you know, those are kind of where some of these disagreements are coming from. It's how we get to that $2 trillion and what's on the table for getting to that $2 trillion. So, while I think the end game is still kind of the same for everyone, they still have a lot of disagreements about how they get there.
Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now. So let's talk a little bit about DOGE and how the cuts that are being found or the spending that's being found. A lot of it is through, of course, USAID. Trying to figure out as a constituent here, as a taxpayer, you know, what is if you find a cut with with that agency and you realize we're spending all of these millions and billions of dollars all across the world. And when Elon Musk puts them out there, when a congressman puts them out there and everyone's like, why are we doing that? It makes sense to pull some of that money back. Who's authorizing the spending of those taxpayer dollars at USAID? Is that congressional item by item? How does USAID get the authority to spend the money where they've been spending it?
Congress has the power of the purse, so usually that money is authorized through Congress. And, you know, keep in mind, I think where some of this waste is coming from that doesn't get talked about enough is that the U.S. government is funded on a CR right now. So essentially, they have been taking probably the last time they actually negotiated a full budget, but they've just been extending the funding and kicking the can down the road consistently from them. One of the arguments that some Republicans will make against CRs like that is that you need to pass a full budget, or, you know, sometimes it's an omnibus, sometimes it's the appropriations process, because when you just continue funding the government at its current levels, then you're funding programs and funding parts of the government that might not exist anymore, or you're funding something that's expired or outdated. That's one argument you hear. But, you know, USAID is funded through Congress. Yes, all that money has to go through there. And that's where I think the arguments coming from Democrats is that, OK, you can go in there and you can cut this, but, you know, Congress has already appropriated this money, so it's illegal for you to go in there and try to make cuts when the law says you have to fund this through a date that's on the table right now.
So the way these dollars would be spent is it that USAID gets a lump sum of money? They say this is how much money they're going to get, and then the people within the agency say, okay, now we're going to put $25 million here, $50 million there, so that are we really questioning the judgment of USAID more in a particulars sense than we are the congressional total budget that has been appropriated to USAID?
You know, I think it depends on who you ask. I think some people will say that top leadership is off with its priorities when it comes to USAID. You may have some folks who say that Congress put up a lot of things in there that they don't like. I think it just really depends on who you ask. But I think there's a bigger, you know, discussion here about how they go about doing this that Republicans are trying to have right now. Number one, you have the legality argument, because they think that maybe Congress should be the ones that are in charge of implementing some of these DOGE changes that they're trying to make. That would certainly make the legal fights a lot easier for Republicans. And I also think that there have been some who say maybe Elon Musk and DOGE need to pump the brakes on some of these layoffs that they're doing. And the one example we keep hearing from both Republicans and Democrats is the USDA, Department of Agriculture, layoff of people who are working on the bird flu. And as you know, the chicken and the egg have become the most political items in the entire country right now, because bird flu is one of the biggest contributors to inflation, causing the chicken shortages and the egg shortages we're seeing, and the prices to skyrocket. So, you know, you have somebody like Susan Collins, a moderate Republican, not exactly a Trump loyalist, but she pretty much said they need to wait for some of these cabinet nominees to get into office first so they can take a more surgical approach, and then you avoid mistakes like that. That's maybe some of the criticism we're hearing from the Republicans on some of the things that Elon Musk is trying here.
And Ryan, before we let you go, when it comes to DOGE, the money they're trying to claw back, the savings they're trying to acquire for the American taxpayer, I think it was Peter Ducey was asking at a press conference, you know, Trump has suggested 20% in dividend payments. I think Elon suggests that Donald Trump kind of blessed that when he was on Air Force One, 20% back to the American taxpayer, 20% to the debt, and then the 60% that remainder applied to the next fiscal year. Is that something that needs to be addressed during this current budget discussion that's taking place that hasn't been finalized yet? Or what's the implementation of whatever the result is of the money that comes back via DOGE?
It sounds like the implementation of DOGE and how they're going to codify some of the changes or some of the ideas they have is going to be through the reconciliation process, which will start if they get it passed this week. So that big if right there. They'll go and probably try to do some of that in April and have final passage sometime in May. That's the timeline Speaker Johnson actually just laid out to my colleague Guy Benson at the American First Prosperity Center over there just a couple minutes ago, really. Now, on the other hand, we do have a government funding deadline, which is a totally separate matter, scheduled for March 14th. Both sides have been trying to negotiate a top line number in order to fund the government. We don't know when that's going to be or what that number is going to be. But those are some of the discussions we have going on right now. And that's both sides. That's Republicans and Democrats negotiating that. I don't see any type of DOGE reforms being put into that, though I could be proven wrong. But I think a lot of the DOGE reforms that they're trying for are going to be focused on this April timeline and this May timeline that Speaker Johnson keeps alluding to.
Well, Ryan Schmelz, you've got your hands full there on Capitol Hill, and we're grateful that you shared that with us here weekly on the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for the update, and we look forward to whatever we have to talk about next week. Thanks for being with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With us today.
Sounds good, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz, he's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill correspondent. He's a White House correspondent as well. You know the colloquialism, it would take an act of Congress. You're like trying to figure out something simple in your life. You know, you've got you're trying to figure out how to improve something at your church, or you're trying to figure out how to make something better in the at work, wherever you are, and they say, oh, it would take an act of Congress to get that done. That means that it would be really, really hard. that's what that colloquialism means. And it's going to take an act of Congress to get all of these things done. It is not an easy thing to do. The Republicans did not earn enough seats in the House of Representatives to make it an easy thing to do. The work is cut out for them. Let's see how good they are at doing their job. And honestly, at the end of the day, probably how good Donald Trump is at putting the pressure on to get the job done. Great to talk to Ryan Schmelz once again. Quick break. Another Ryan back in studio with us with Wiggins America next. The Monday roundup. He's got some stories that he's picked out over the weekend that you might have missed. And he'll lay them on us here on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. Don't go away. But if he's a ghost.